This morning I'll be reading from John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. and men gather them, and cast them unto the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask that ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, for ye may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
It is truly a pleasure to be standing here before you, speaking clearly. It is a pleasure to be here because, as you all know, I was in an accident that I realized that probably could have taken my life. And it didn't. I am blessed to have this congregation, this family of brothers and sisters that I can come to, that I have learned from. And that hopefully I get to bring a lesson to you that edifies you and that spurs you on to do the will of the Lord. What brought me to this lesson today is 2 Peter 3:9. It is God's will that all men should come to repentance. All men should come to repentance. That's what God wants. He wants all men to be saved. But God can't do that by himself. God has given us the Word. He sent his Son on to come as human form, to die on the cross for our sins, giving us that hope of eternal salvation. He has given us apostles to teach us. He has given us other disciples in which we can learn from. He has given us elders who can teach us. He's given us evangelists who help us spread the word. But it is up to us to do the work. It is up to us to do the work for God. That is the will of God. That we do God's work, so that all men can come to repentance. I take you to John chapter 15. I take you to Jesus' word saying that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. I believe that everyone here is a branch. And everyone here has a fruit on your branch. Is it big? Is it abundant? Is it small? What is your fruit like? I don't know how many of you have worked with grapevines. I don't know how many of you have worked with apple trees or pear trees or any sort of a fruit-bearing tree. I've had a little bit of experience with it. We could also go with flowers on this subject as well. But if you have a branch that provides no fruit at all, that branch is wasting energy. And that branch needs to be pruned so that those branches that are producing fruit, that fruit becomes fuller, more pleasing to the eye, and more abundant. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. If you are a branch that gives no fruit, you are wasting energy and you will be cut from the vine. But as we tend the vine, we have some branches that maybe have some fruit, but we need to see the fruit produce more. Maybe that branch has some small fruit to it, or maybe the clusters of the grapes on that particular branch aren't so full. So it gets pruned a little bit. And by pruning a little bit, that branch will produce more fruit. I want to take you to James chapter 1. And I want to thank my brother Mike through my affliction, that he really brought this passage home to me. James chapter 1, verse 2. Burn this in your brains, people. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers, when you are faced with trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. I present to you today that on many levels, every day, you are being pruned back just a little bit. I submit to you that there are afflictions in your life that you meet every day. And it's how you persevere through that affliction that tests you, that lets God know if you're serious about being a child of His. It is this affliction, it is this test, it is this pruning that matures us. It completes us. And we should meet these afflictions, we should meet this pruning with much joy. I think back in high school as I was on a basketball team. I was on a basketball team with Catherine Van Monen's grandson, Craig Harrison. And he was complaining one day in the locker room. The coach is always riding me. Man, he is always on me. And I said, Craig, you're lucky. The coach doesn't notice me. The coach is on you because he's trying to make you a better player. The coach already knows I have no talent. He's not going to waste his time with me. Think about that just for a minute. God loves you. He gave you a talent. He's pruning you. He's giving you afflictions. He's testing you so that you can make your talent better, so that you can hone your talent to use it for God's will, which is that all men should repent and be saved. We receive joy at the end of our trials and at the end of our afflictions. We receive joy that we pass that test. We feel good about ourselves. We feel uplifted. When we conquer the flesh, when we discipline the flesh, Hebrews chapter 12 talks a lot about disciplining. You know you're loved because you're being disciplined. Craig was being disciplined so that he could be better. God is disciplining us through pruning us. We should consider it joy. A lot of times, when we are tested, when we are afflicted, when we can't conquer that discipline, or can't conquer that affliction, when we can't conquer our flesh, and we give in to whatever it is that we want to give in to, we feel guilty. We may still come here to worship. We may sit in that pew. And maybe we won't feel all that uplifted. It's because we didn't conquer the flesh. It's because we didn't persevere through that top trial or that affliction. Write it down. If you feel not uplifted, write it down. Send me a card. As soon as you put that card in the mailbox, you're going to feel joy. You're going to feel your spirits uplifted. If you're not feeling uplifted now, write it down. I can see you, but I won't tell you who's writing it down. I'm going to get that card, and I'm going to feel uplifted. I received a lot of cards. I felt uplifted. I received phone calls, and I felt uplifted. You feel down in the dumps? You feel bad? Write it down. Send me a card. I'm going to send you back a card. You're going to feel uplifted. So you're a cheapskate. That's my email address. You don't have to waste your money on a stamp.
Write it down. Send me an email. As soon as you click send or enter, you're going to feel better. You know why? Because you're doing God's will. I don't want to make this sound funny, but you're being a fruit. You're being fruitful. You're thinking about a brother. As soon as I get that, I'm going to respond back to you. I'm going to feel uplifted. I'm going to feel uplifted because a brother or a sister here in this congregation cares enough to ask me how I'm doing. That's all you got to do. How you doing, Kelly? Well, I'm doing great. See how easy it is? That's a talent. That's a gift that God gave each and every one of us that we can utilize and we can lift each other up. Paul tells us that God gave us all gifts, spiritual gifts. We are one body with many parts. Some of us can speak, some of us can teach. There's a lot of different talents out there. It's up to us to find out what our talent is. It's a shame that some of us have to work so hard at our careers trying to keep the boat afloat. We become a slave to work, and we forget to become a slave to God. When we become a slave to work, or maybe we become a slave to something else in the world, we forget to find out what our talent is. We forget to find out what our gift is so that we can hone it and that we can use it. So that we can do the will of God. I want to take you to another passage that Brother Mark Herman wrote on my cast. It's found in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry. I read my notes wrong, or either I wrote it down. But it's 4:13. Chapter 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. This is important. When I first started a company called Aladdin, I was a delivery man. I was picking up and delivering uniforms or towels or rugs. And it was a hard job. And the fellow training me, some of us may know, Jim Watland, he said, can't, never could. Can't, never could? That's weird. What does that mean? It means that can't, whenever you say can't, cannot get anything done. And that's a Larryism. I heard it from him as well. Cannot get anything done. When we say we can't, we're forgetting to use God in our life, because all things are possible through Him who gives us strength. If we're afraid to do something, if we're afraid to step out of our comfort zone, we need to lean upon the Lord, because the Lord can give us the strength to do so. The brain is very powerful. In my house, we have 8 steps that lead up to the upstairs where the bedrooms are. And the kids like to find out how many steps that they can jump off of. Sophie is now at her 5th step. She's a big girl. Carson can do all 8. Brady could do 7, but last night he did 8. I commend Brady. Brady struggled and struggled and struggled with that eighth step. He could jump off that seventh step all day long, but as soon as he got on that eighth step, something in his brain, boy, I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I can do this. I said, Brady, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Well, he come down off the steps. And he sat down. Before you know it, he was back on top of them steps. I can do it. I can do it. I know I can do it. Why won't my legs work? Why won't they work? Brady, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Comes down off them steps. Sits on that chair for a while. So what's wrong, Brady? What's the block? What's the block? My brain. It just doesn't want to do it. You got to trust in the Lord. I didn't tell him that because God doesn't care if he can jump off the eighth step or not. But he walked back up there and he finally got enough courage and he jumped off that step. Sometimes when these things happen to us, our brain gets in the way. Sometimes we won't do the right thing right off the bat. But if we go to God, if we lean on the Lord will help us. I've heard many people say, I'm just not that kind of person, I can't do that. I don't believe you. You don't want to do that. Because if you go to God and you ask for God for wisdom to do a certain thing, God is going to give you that wisdom to do it, and He's going to give it to you liberally. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need to do His will. He's going to give you that wisdom. Philippians 4:8, Galatians 5:22. Ephesians 5:8 through 21. I think I have enough time. I'm going to read them. I'm going to start with Ephesians 5:8 through 21. For you once were in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I read this passage because it reads like John, 1 John 1, talks about light and dark. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. It's like an empty room that you've got all the lights shut off. That room is filled with darkness, or equates to evil. That's why we're scared of the dark, right? You turn on the light, Where does the darkness go? It's gone. There is no darkness. That light chases it away. When we have light in our lives, when we have God in our lives, when we surround ourselves by light, the evil, the darkness, is chased away. Philippians 4 and 8. This is Brady's memory verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We live in a world that surrounds us by evil. We turn on the radio. We hear off-colored jokes. We hear songs about different innuendos. We go to work. We hear filthy language. Every facet of our lives, we are filled or surrounded by darkness. It is up to us to surround ourselves with whatever is lovely, whatever is good. It's up to us to think upon those things that are admirable. And all of those things come from God's Word. We've heard it said before, and I finally did it. I went online. I found some sermons online that I wanted to download onto my iPod or my MP3 player. And when I'm working around a piece of equipment where I don't need to listen to somebody else, I put my little earbuds in and put it on. I've listened to Tom Woody speak about spirit versus the flesh and how to conquer the flesh, how to let the spirit conquer the flesh. I've listened to Tom Woody about a word fitly spoken. I've listened to Jim Basinger about how to raise your children. I've listened to Wilford Landis about you, your body, is the temple of God. I've learned lots of wonderful things from these men that work so hard to use God's Word to edify me. At one of our Bible studies, we talked about the saying, junk in, junk out, and using that with computers. If you put the wrong parameters into a computer, it's going to spit out the wrong stuff for an answer. We are just like that. We put in the junk, we're going to get fruitless deeds out. We put in the good stuff, we put in the light, we're going to get good, fruitful deeds out. Galatians 5:22. My last Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. If you don't have self-control, how can you do the will of God? I have a problem with flying off the handle. When I fly off the handle, when I see red, when I'm angry, where am I doing the will of God? I am not doing the will of God. Brothers and sisters, I count it a great joy to be here before you, bringing you the Word of God, edifying you, This morning, as I'm sitting down and I'm looking at my bird feeder, I got a new bird feeder. I put little thistle seed in there. For a long time, no bird showed up. Now all of a sudden, I've got goldfinches and house finches. They're so beautiful. I said, Allison, you know what? That bird feeder's like the Word of God. It sits there, and it waits for us to come and get it, to come and eat of the Word of God. And when we come and eat of the Word of God, God is sitting at His kitchen window, watching us, pleased to see the beauty of us following His will and eating of the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. Let us not surround ourselves with things that are evil or fruitless, but surround yourselves with things that are good, things that are of the light, things that are of God. If you don't feel uplifted, there's my address, there's my email address. Send me a note. You'll feel better when you did that. You'll feel really better when I respond back to you. And I'll feel good too. That's a good fruit. If there's anything that we can do for you, we are at the end of our service. If you would like to be baptized for the remission of sins, if you have an issue that you would like to bring before the congregation, now is that time as we stand and sing the invitation song.